FBI undercover program threatens national security with mismanagement. You see, the national security is not being threatened by ending 702. It's being threatened by the FBI.
Welcome to the Straight Talk Podcast. I am your host, America's Sheriff David Clark. We're going to talk about something today that is not getting enough attention, not from the American media, not from the halls of Congress, not from the White House, and it's this war in Ukraine. We are at war, ladies and gentlemen. Whether or not you believe that we have to have boots on the ground in order for it to be considered that we're at war, we are propping up this war, billions of dollars. We're now about a year and a half in with no end in sight. We're being misled by the national media that doesn't really want to talk about this. And what I find interesting is that if this war were being conducted by a Republican president, it would not have the support of CNN, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times editorial boards, nor the editorial boards of any of these liberal publications if a Republican president were conducting this war. But since it's being conducted by Joe Biden and it started on Joe Biden's watch, they seem to be in support of it, as is just about every Democrat in the House and in the Senate. But there's some problems with this. It's the in for a penny, in for a pound adage. We're financing this war. No other country, the NATO countries I'm talking about, or the European countries, none of them are financially paying for it like the United States is. Like I said, it's reported $43 billion thus far. That's the United States has paid to prop up this war. But some estimates have it as high as $100 billion. And we really don't know because nobody's asking the right questions. Whenever a hearing comes up in Congress as to more financial support or military support for the war, there's not a lot of honest discussion going on. One of the few people that is asking the right questions is Senator Rand Paul, who just wants an accounting, for heaven's sakes. You know, I get all the stuff that we hear all the time. Well, it's a vital U.S. interest. Well, you know, the Ukraine's attacked by an enemy. I get all that. But I haven't heard anyway. What's the end point of this thing? What's the end game? How does this end? When does it end? I mean, at some point, sure, Putin's a bad guy. No doubt about that. But Zelensky is not much better. Zelensky's running around the world, shaking countries down for more military and more financial aid for this war. But I don't know what his plan is, other than to kick Russia out. Well, that's not going so well right now. The reason why this war started is because when Russia was amassing troops and artillery and military supplies to the border, their border with Ukraine, the United States under Joe Biden and Blinken, Secretary of State Blinken, did nothing. And as a guy who knows a lot more about this than I do, General Mike Flynn, I had a conversation with him one day, and here's what he told me. He says, wars happen when diplomacy fails. He says there's always an opportunity to prevent a war early on with effective diplomacy. And the United States wasn't doing that. They were not engaged. All we got out of them was, Russia's planning an attack. The attack is imminent. But there were no diplomatic discussions or diplomatic, debates and whatnot, negotiations going on with Russian foreign minister and Ukraine foreign minister to try to head this thing off. Because now we're a month and a half in with no end in sight, as I indicated. Hundreds of thousands of deaths, the destruction. Folks, put war pictures into a search engine in Ukraine. Look at the devastation of this country, the infrastructure. You look at some of the pictures, and it looks like the aftermath of a nuclear blast, for heaven's sakes. I mean, buildings totally leveled. The money it's going to take, and guess who's going to foot the bill for that? To rebuild this country at some point, because it's going to have to happen. Maybe it's 10 years, But by that time, we'll be bankrupt. And our capability to conduct other operations around the world being lessened, we won't have the capability. And we're going to go through some of that today. This is the stuff, ladies and gentlemen, that's not going on in Congress when the issue of Ukraine comes up. Nobody's asking the questions. Nobody wants to know. It's kind of the move along, nothing to see here. Here's some more aid for Ukraine because, you know, Ukraine's a vital interest. It might be. But I don't know. I, at this point, what I'd like to think is going on, but it's not, because that's another entity that's not giving us a straight talk. And it's the Defense Department. And it's these military generals who are talking all around this issue. I remember in the early stages of this war, when a U.S. general, military general said, well, this is a good thing because it's going to weaken Russia's capability, their military capability down the road. Well, in fact, the exact opposite is happening. So it just makes me wonder who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know who's on third. What, somebody give us, we the people, because support for this war is starting to drop too. And the more we learn about it, I'll tell you right now, the less public support you're going to have for this operation in the way that it's being carried out right now. And because of the fact that, we're not being told the entire story, most people make that determination, the question, do you support the war in Ukraine, with a yes, because they really don't know how badly this thing is going, not only for Ukraine, but for the United States. I mean, whenever you go to war, you have to win it on two fronts. You have to win it on the battlefield, and then you have to win it in the hearts and minds of the American people. You have to have public support for this stuff. And as time goes on, it wanes. Public support wanes as time goes on. And that's what's happening right now. So I look at this and I read these articles. You know, I've been keeping up with it. I mean, it's a war, for heaven's sakes, that has the potential to break out into a world war. You know, you can't put anything past Putin to use nukes in Ukraine as a last-ditch effort. You can't put it past him. He's a dictator. But for heaven's sakes, you know, Zelensky comes over here, or he goes over to NATO, or he gets invited to some other country to beg for more financial aid and military supplies, and he's not giving us the entire operation. He's selling all seashells and balloons. Oh, it's going great. Oh, we're winning. Oh, we're going to mount this spring campaign. Remember that? This spring initiative, this offensive that was supposed to happen a couple months ago? It didn't. So Zelensky, you know, well, you know, without your help, we can't win this war. Maybe then it's time to get to the negotiation table and have a negotiated settlement to the end of this war. Maybe part of it is, Russia, you got to move your troops back to the border. Then Russia's going to want something for that. One of the things Russia wants is they don't want Ukraine in NATO. I don't know why Ukraine has to be in NATO. So those are the type of diplomatic negotiations that are going to have to go on. But first, why don't you just call a ceasefire, for heaven's sake? The destruction, the deaths of civilians, much less the military casualties, the civilian deaths. Women and children. And like I said, the country's being destroyed physically. So I want to point to this article here just to show how, you know, this thing isn't going as well as we're being led to believe. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, Ukraine faces a deeply entrenched enemy. Ukraine is now attempting to dislodge an entrenched enemy. One of the most daunting operations any military can undertake. Russian troops have spent months building physical defenses that include bunkers, tank traps, and minefields, some more than 15 miles deep. In this phase of the war, Ukraine's lack of resources is proving as much of a challenge as the dug-in Russian defenses, despite the delivery of new Western weapons, which just escalates the war, by the way. Despite the delivery of new Western weapons in recent months, and a promise by the U.S. Friday to send deadly cluster munitions in the future, Kiev's efforts to push south through Russian-held territory toward the Sea of Azov has stalled. Quote, "It's impossible to completely destroy such a well-prepared position before advancing," said a 38-year-old rifle unit commander in the 108th Brigade, who goes by the call sign Vados. Now, let me stop there. I thought this thing was going well. That's what the Defense Department has been telling us. That's what Zelensky's been telling us. That's what Zelensky's telling Congress and all these other nations. Oh, it's going well. We just get a little more money and a few more munitions. Ladies and gentlemen, that is dragging us further into this war. So it says here, to be able to take it, Ukrainian artillery forces would need to first bombard the area and then advance with armored vehicles to bring in infantry. A shortage of tanks and other armored vehicles has made that strategy hard to execute, he said. Then why was Zelensky telling us about this spring offensive that was going to turn the tide in this war? Because he's lying. He's misleading. It's propaganda. So it says here, Kiev is trying to soften Russian defenses before sending in troops, but doesn't have enough ammunition to supply flattened Russian-held villages. See, flattened Russian-held villages. Look at the pictures, ladies and gentlemen. Go find them. Search them. It's jaw-dropping. Flattened Russian-held villages as the Russians did in Bakhmut and other parts of eastern Ukraine. Instead, troops usually make artillery strikes only if they have confirmed Russian positions with drones. Ukrainian officials have declined throughout the war to discuss casualty figures. That's wrong. How can they get away with that? How can the New York Times editorial board, the Washington Post, how can CNN, the Los Angeles Times, and all these other liberal publications, how can they let Ukraine get away with not reporting casualties? That's all we would hear about if a Republican was conducting this war in this fashion. That's all they would talk about. These liberal publications, oh, the death and destruction, oh, it's horrible. Women, you'd see pictures of women and children. You'd see pictures of women and children dead, distraught, homes destroyed. If a Republican president were leading this war, but since it's Joe Biden, well, yeah, you know, it's war, people die. Well, you know, what are you going to do? No. Before this guy gets one more dollar, Zelensky, he should be made to tell the Congress approximately how many people have died in this year and a half war right now. So anyway, it says, but soldiers on the southern front say that a unit can sometimes lose dozens of men in one assault. Quote, we don't have proper air defense systems to deal with the threat, says a 40-year-old platoon commander in the 108th Brigade. When we're warned that an enemy plane has taken off, the only way to deal with it is to take cover. That's the battlefield. That's an analysis and an assessment of the war front. It is not going well. But then there's another aspect of this. Here's another thing that's not talked about. Putting the United States military and their capability to defend the United States at home and abroad is being weakened with this involvement in Ukraine. And nobody seems to be alarmed. When I say nobody, I'm talking about the liberal editorial boards. I'm talking about people in Congress who support this in this fashion. I'm not suggesting we just pull out. I'm suggesting now some sort of diplomacy has to go on now. Try to broker a ceasefire and get these two entities to the table and start the diplomatic negotiations to end this war. So I come across this article. This should shock people, but it's not. And that's why I said the American people are kind of going through this thing just, you know, it's like we're in a malaise. It's like we're in a fog. Oh, yeah, yeah, we're helping Ukraine. No, we're at war. So it says here, it's from the Washington Times, locked and loaded, question mark, $41.3 billion in U.S. military aid to Ukraine diminishes Americans' weapons stockpile. Did you hear that? Diminishes America's weapons stockpile. So it goes on to say American guns are rapidly running out of ammunition, and there are serious questions about how quickly they can be reloaded. From President Biden on down, officials have publicly warned that key segments of the nation's arsenals are nearly depleted, ladies and gentlemen, sparking fear in national security circles that Washington could find itself vulnerable if another unexpected conflict erupts. You know what that means? You know who's watching this? China. You know who's watching this? North Korea. China's just biding their time before they make an invasion of Hong Kong, Taiwan, and the United States won't have the capability to respond appropriately because we won't have the military capability to be able to do it. Is Ukraine worth it? So it says here, a sudden Chinese attack on Taiwan, for example, could pull America and its Pacific allies into battle, but there is mounting evidence that the U.S. could lack necessary firepower. So it says the U.S. has provided $41.3 billion in military aid since Russia's invasion on February 24th of 2022, but America is paying a price for that aid. Yeah, we are. Our capability. And then this thing goes on to say, this article, that, you know, this to restock these stockpiles of munitions and military supplies, it doesn't turn on a dime. We may not have the surge capacity to contact all of these munitions makers and tell them, hey, start ramping up production. They don't have the capability anymore for a surge like that. So it's putting the United States in a very dangerous and weakened capability. But again, nobody, and Capitol Hill seems to want to take this issue up. Bring in these military generals and say, what the heck's going on? What are our capabilities? You're probably going to get lied to. Oh, we'll be fine. No, we won't. And China knows. And North Korea knows. North Korea could attack South Korea. What are we going to be able to do? We're tied up. We're up to our eyeballs in Ukraine. So here's another story from timecast.com. Ukraine war has depleted U.S. ammo stockpiles, despite April warning from experts about the supply chains. This is what I'm talking about. And I said, we don't have the capability to contact these munitions makers and whatnot and say, you know, we need a surge here, you know, ramp up the your production. So it says here, despite warnings from two experts in the field of logistics and procurement, a Wall Street Journal report indicates that their testimony is starting to come to fruition. Officials at the Department of Defense described the stockpile of 155 millimeter ammunition as uncomfortably low. When asked by Senator Roger Wicker whether we could sustain our weapons deliveries to Ukraine, the former assistant secretary explained that the replenishment process takes 2 to 5 years to complete. And this isn't sounding any alarms on Capitol Hill about our defense capability. So it says here, quote, we have yet to see a single contract in place to start the replenishment. Discussions are going on, but there's no definition of what the requirements are yet because we still don't know how far we're going to draw down. Here's another quote. If we're one-third less in less than 2 months, that's only 6 months. There's no way a contract is going to deliver replacements in that time, even if we started today. We're behind, and you guys should push them to hurry up, this guy says. The Biden administration has not expressed any alarm over the depletion, however, because they're sleepwalking through this, and they're thinking, well, you know what? We're not going to get beat up by this because we're getting cover from the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times, CNN. We're getting cover from them for our involvement in this war at this level. So here It goes on to say the State Department spokesperson then suggested that supply concerns expressed by the military would not impede effort by the administration to continue to supply Ukraine. Our belief is that we will do everything we can to ensure that Ukraine can defend itself, can defend its territorial sovereignty, to defend its territorial integrity. And we're going to continue to stand with Ukraine for as long as it takes. And I'm getting tired of that statement. That's me saying it. I'm getting tired of that statement. We're going to be here as long as it takes. Biden keeps uttering it. We're going to be in Ukraine as long as it takes. What, 10 years? 20? Do the math. The money, it's going to bankrupt us. That's another thing China's watching. That's another thing Russia's thinking about. We'll bankrupt the United States doing. We'll stay here as long as it takes to bankrupt the United States and to weaken their military capability. So it says, but a report on the production of rocket mortars by the Government Accountability Office cautions that having the appropriations on hand does not guarantee production will be able to fulfill the demand. So it also says that support of Ukraine has cost the United States in less obvious ways, such as expenses related to logistics for the troops deployed as security assistance to countries neighboring the war zone. Those are the ones training the Ukrainians on how to fly these fighter jets, so on and so forth. That costs money. So all I'm saying is we need answers to questions. First of all, we need good questions from our elected people on Capitol Hill. Ask the question. Get the truth before it's too late. And then there's this aspect about support for the war that's diminishing. And that's not good. And I just think, and it's just me talking, that the longer this thing goes on and the more the American people find out about it, I believe that the less support this war is going to have. So this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article here. Support for Ukraine aid softens in U.S. public, the poll says. Remember what I said. You got to fight wars on two fronts. One is abroad on the battlefield and the other is in public opinion. You have to maintain public opinion for these wars. Otherwise, the people are going to get restless. And when the people get restless and the support diminishes, these elected officials are going to be in trouble. The White House is going to be in trouble. And I'm telling you right now, there would be anti-war protests throughout the United States today if this war were being conducted by a Republican president. So here's an article from PBS.org. Support among the American public for providing Ukraine weaponry and direct economic assistance has softened as the Russian invasion nears a grim one-year milestone. Right now, it's about 18 months. According to a new poll, the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, 48% say they favor the U.S. providing weapons to Ukraine, with 29% opposed and 22% saying they're neither in favor or opposed, nor opposed. What I'm trying to ask, I'm trying to figure out, I should say, those 48% that support, what are they basing it on? They don't even know what the hell's going on. If they saw the pictures that I'm seeing, they saw the death and destruction, if they saw that our stockpiles and our capability to respond to another position around the world, a vital U.S. interest was diminished, these 48% wouldn't be in support of this. Not at least within a county. I'm not talking about a pullout at this point or just dropping the ball and telling Ukraine, hey, see you later. I'm not saying that. So it says here, the signs of diminished support for Ukraine come as President Joe Biden is expected to travel to Poland next week. That was a couple weeks ago. Marked the first anniversary of the biggest conflict in Europe since World War II. Biden has repeatedly stated that the United States will help Ukraine, quote, as long as it takes to repel the Russian invasion that began on February 24th of last year. Privately, administration officials have warned Ukrainian officials that there is a limit to the patience of a narrowly divided Congress and the American public. See, that's what I'm talking about. And you have the administration who are quietly warning Ukraine. No, it shouldn't be quiet. It should be very loud. So it says, a limited patience to the narrowly divided Congress and American public for the cost of the war with no clear end. There has to be an end game. Zelensky needs to tell us. He can't say as long as it takes. I understand he doesn't want Russia in his country. I get that. But maybe there's a diplomatic solution to this. It's not even being worked on, for heaven's sake. So this is for the cost of a war with no clear end. Congress approved about $113 billion in economic, humanitarian, and military spending in 2022. You see what I mean? We don't even know. One report says $41.3 billion to date. This one here says $113 billion. So it says Biden has approved sending light multiple rocket launchers and Patriot missile systems, Bradley fighting vehicles, Abrams tanked him more. And you're going to tell me we're not at war? The hell we aren't. We're supplying this thing. Russia knows we're involved. They don't consider us bystanders. Biden, however, continues to balk at Ukraine's request for fighter jets. Trust me, they're going to get fighter jets. The longer this goes on, they're going to get fighter jets. This is this mission creep. This is this, you know, slowly heading toward the deep end of the pool where ultimately we'll end up having troops on the ground, for heaven's sakes. That's where this is headed. So anyway, here's a guy quoted on this military aid. This guy says, a Democrat, who added that she hopes the U.S. and allies change their mind on the fighter jets. See what I mean? They want us to send fighter jets. We seem to have done a drip, drip, drip. I understand why it is they were hesitant, but we're now beyond that point. You see what I mean when I say the escalation of this thing? We are in up to our eyeballs at war with Russia in Ukraine. This is not making much sense to me. And all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, please don't misunderstand me. It's called straight talk. There's got to be an accounting. There has to be more information given to the American people. There has to be better questions asked on Capitol Hill about this war. I mean, we know why we're here, right? A sovereign nation was attacked by Russia. Okay. But it seems to, that's not where this is going to end. Yeah, it's taking Russia longer too, and who knows what their casualties are. Most of this is being conducted in Ukraine. That's where the death and destruction is happening with the civilian population. And the physical aspects of that country, the buildings, the bridges, the infrastructure, critical infrastructure that's being destroyed. And again, remember what I said? When this ends, and there is no end in sight, but eventually it will, and I don't know if it's going to be before or after a world war here. You know who Ukraine's going to come to help rebuild a country? Yeah, Uncle Sam. So we're helping destroy the country, and then we're going to be asked to rebuild it. I don't know, folks. You need to get on the phone with your elected official in Washington, D.C., and just tell them, hey, we want an accounting. What's going on? And tell them we're being misled. We're not getting all the information we need to decide whether we're going to continue to support this war in this fashion. Because as long as this public support continues to slip, like this one guy said, that's going to be big trouble for us. The elected officials, the president, the White House. This madness has to stop. Thanks for listening. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Clark. MyPillow 2.0, with its temperature regulating technology, is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, it does. MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America's Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.